Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Inspire Table podcast. I'm your host, Jordana Levine, and today I'm back with an interview episode. It's been a long time since I've put an interview episode up on here. We've really been focusing on the moon and Mercury retrograde, and I'm sure you're all dying to know what's happening with the upcoming full moon and lunar eclipse next week. There will be an episode up in a few days about that, so hang tight. To be honest with you, I'm actually in two minds about what to do with the Inspired Table podcast. I have two podcasts, I'm sure many of you know. My other podcast is called The Middle, and I co-host it with my beautiful friend, Holly Azzopardi. But what you might not know is that I record, edit, do all the design and marketing for both of those podcasts, and it is a lot of work. Is a lot of hours in my day. And what I've found is that the Inspired Table podcast has been slipping a little. You'll notice that episodes are kind of coming out fortnightly now, finding it very hard to get the interview episodes up, even though I enjoy doing interviews so much. So I'm trying to work out what the best move is going forward. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you absolutely love the interview episodes and would hate for them to disappear, please let me know. You can DM me on Instagram. You could send me an email, jordana@jordanalevine.com. Just reach out, I guess. I'm still getting the same listens that I always get. There has been no drop off, which has been so beautiful and so reassuring. But I really want to be able to put my energy into the things that you guys are really benefiting from. And I know the moon synopsis is one of those. So one of the options here is that I move those moon synopsis over to the Middle podcast and air them on there. And just let the Inspired Table go, really, which will be an interesting exercise. I've had this podcast now for almost 4 years, which is absolutely crazy. But anyway, look, just some food for thought this morning. If you have no opinion, that is totally fine too. I just thought I'd throw it over to you guys just to gauge where everybody is at with that idea. But for now, let's stick to today's episode. My guest today is Kiralee Lynch. Kiralee is an energy worker, channel, and clairvoyant. She's also a glitter nomad who's been traveling the world with nothing but a backpack and a smile for the last 18 months. Kiralee uses her gifts to support her clients to heal and gain clarity about their soul purpose. Now, Kiralee generously offered me a session before our recording so that I could gain a greater insight into the work that she does. And look, I have seen many psychics and channels and clairvoyants and energy workers, and I can say that Kiralee's session was truly delightful. She's very gentle and kind and loving in her approach, and you leave her sessions feeling uplifted, energized, and hopeful, which is always a good thing. And I know it's a worry for some people when they're having sessions with clairvoyants and energy workers. So if you're looking for a little bit of guidance and a little bit of hope for your future, then I highly recommend booking in a session with the beautiful Kiralee Lynch. I'd love to know what you thought of this conversation. So as always, if you enjoyed it, please leave a rating or review on iTunes or take a screenshot on your phone and share it to Instagram stories, tagging me at Jordana Levine and Kiralee at Luminous Awakenings.
I'm Kiralee. Hi, you can call me Kiki. And I am an energy dealer.
I keep saying energy, introducing myself as an energy healer at parties, and everybody hears dealer, so I'm just going with that.
I actually prefer energy dealer, to be honest with you.
I think it's right?
Perfection and very cute. Yes.
Yes.
Continue.
Yes. So I'm an energy dealer. I'm a channel. I'm an intuitive. I like to think of myself as a bit of an old-fashioned telephone operator. I don't know if you've seen Mrs. Maisel or Mad Men or those kind of old shows where you see the like the women who are patching the calls through.
Yeah.
That's me. I don't wear heels or have such great A-line dresses, but I help patch people through to their higher selves, and I patch them through to their angels and their guides. And I am really passionate about people taking the internal journey, and that's what I facilitate. I facilitate people stepping inside of themselves and really forming a deep and lasting bond with themselves that's very much based in love and compassion.
Beautiful. So let's explore this idea of connecting people with their higher selves, with their angels, with their guides. How does one get into the business of energy dealing? How was it that you came to the realization or came to understand that you had this connection?
So it's a long story. I'll give you the greatest hits, the cliff notes. And first, I would like to say that I take the view of my teacher. So my teacher is a woman called Lynette Arcadi, who's known as my energy mentor. And she's the one who taught me like the skills of how to get there. But she teaches from the basis of we all have it. Yeah. It's our birthright. We are born with it. And we have simply forgotten it's not prioritized in our society. Buying shit and being powerful and having a big job and, you know, that kind of stuff is prioritized. But this deep and lasting connection to our intimate intuitive selves is not prioritized. Mm. So we lose it, right? So I would say I've always had it in the way that everybody has always had it. My grandmother certainly had it. I have a grandmother who used to say she had a direct line to Jesus because it was really like she could just pick up the telephone and have a chat. And that's how she understood it through the Catholic kind of lineage of understanding spirit, which is not so much me at all. But the way I actually got there, I was a yoga teacher. I mean, first, if we go way back, I was working in the music industry. I worked at Triple J for 10 years and was very much in the material world and just loved partying with rock stars and like going to gigs and hanging out and being young and stupid. And I loved it. But there was always a bit of a hole inside of me that none of this stuff could fill. And so I fell into yoga, which was like coming home. And that's when I realized that the spiritual path was my path and always had been. I just kind of needed to accept that again about myself. And then getting into yoga got me into ayahuasca. And I was living in Berlin for many years, and there's a big ayahuasca scene in Berlin. Mm. And so I kind of got really into that for about 2 years. And it was ayahuasca that told me. I was in a ceremony and ayahuasca said, "You're a channel." And I was like, okay. And then ayahuasca said, and this woman, Lynette Arcadi, is your teacher and you need to go to her. And
Can I just stop you there for a minute?
Yes,
just because I'm so fascinated by ayahuasca. Mm-hmm, when you say you were on an ayahuasca journey for 2 years, what does that mean?
So I worked with two different shamans regularly and would do ceremonies maybe kind of every month, every 2 months. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of depended, but like at the most frequent, it was every month, every 2 months, then maybe every 6 months at the least frequent. But yeah, I logged about, I guess, 15 ceremonies roughly in 2 years. Yeah.
I don't want to make this a podcast about ayahuasca, but it does fascinate me. I've had lots of friends that have done it. I find that women seem to have a more intense experience than my male friends that have been through it. But some of my female friends that have been through it have had what I would almost call traumatic experiences, and maybe that was because they had stuff that needed to come up and move through them. But the more that you go through it, like if you're doing it monthly, is the experience getting it well I I don't want to say better, but is it more gentle or is it still quite a...
It's so personal. It's so personal. And for me, actually, it was more of a digging down. So if you had have asked me after my first 5 or 6 ceremonies, I was like, oh my God, ayahuasca is amazing. And it's light and it's love and it's bubbles and sunshine and gorgeousness. And I just felt hugged by the divine and loved by the universe and had to be shushed by the shaman a few times because I was up the back laughing so hard. And I'd never vomited. I was like, I don't even vomit. I feel like so many of my stories about myself, I'm like, I don't even do this, and then it comes and smacks me in the face.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then I did start vomiting, and that's like after about ceremony 5 onwards. Oh, and wow. Didn't like it, but you know, also realized that it's not a physical release, it's an energetic release. And yeah. I was like, I came here to change. I didn't come to stay the same. If this is what I have to do, fine, bring it, like, let's go. And then it wasn't until about ceremony 14 that I got smacked hard. And by this time I'd been told I was a channel. I'd gone to my teacher because I ignored the first time ayahuasca told me that, I ignored it because I'm an idiot. So second time ayahuasca really got in my face and was like, we talked about this, bitch. Lynette is your teacher. Go to her. And then the next ayahuasca ceremony I did, I actually got pushed out. I could feel myself being pushed out after about 60 minutes. I was just back sober as a judge. Everybody else was just starting. And I had really been kicked out and been like, maybe you shouldn't even come back. And then I went and did two years work with my teacher, and then I came back and just got smacked so hard, and it was the worst night of my life.
Wow.
Because it was coming to terms with death. Yeah. It was like, and I was told there are all these difficult things you have to do, your marriage is going to end and both of your grandmothers are going to die, and you don't want to do it, it's all going to happen in the next year and you have to do it. And I just cried all night. I was like, no, don't make me do these things, I don't want to, like, please don't make me.
And it all happened.
But of course it all happened. And then in going through it, I'd already done so much, it was horrible, but I'd already done so much of the work in that overnight experience that when it actually came to do the really hard stuff, I mean, not that it's easy, but I was a little bit prepared, I think.
Okay.
And then I didn't do any ayahuasca for like so long after that. I was like, no, I'm out. And then I went back and it was gentle and lovely again. So I think it's just a very personal, it's all to do with you and your experiences and what you need. And she never gives you any more than you can handle. That's what's amazing. Even if it's like the worst night of your life, she will not give you any more than you can handle. She'll challenge you, but she won't overwhelm you.
Yeah, look, you lost me at vomiting. I have to be honest with you. It's my least favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had this awakening of sorts through the ayahuasca ceremonies, and you went and did your training with with this woman.
With Lynette. With Lynette. 3 years with her.
Okay. And then I mean, was there a point where you had decided that this was something that you needed to offer as a service in your life, and it wasn't just something that you could have for yourself?
I very much as well needed to accept myself, because even though, like, I was doing this weird thing where I was a yoga teacher and I was heavily into the woo-woo, like, I love it. I'm deeply spiritual, but I couldn't quite accept that about myself. I'd kind of pretend that I wasn't. I'd pretend that I was still the atheist that I was in my 20s, who was like, no, there's nothing more. What are you talking about? And so it actually, I was, even though I was like doing this work with Lynette and I was 2.5 years into my work with her, and things were happening, and I could no longer deny that these things were happening. Like, I denied it as much as I could, but at some point you've just got to accept your own experience, right? You've got to like stop pushing against the tide and just start going with it. And so I was kind of, I'd been getting these downloads. All of a sudden I'd just be like, I'd hear this voice in my head that was like, are you ready? And I'd be like, oh, fine, I'm ready. And like, I have a really clear one. I was in the back of a car. I was being driven around somewhere in Bali, and I was like scrabbling for a pen and a paper, and I'd been chatting to the driver, and I had to say, oh, could you please give me a second? And I'm writing down what's coming through. But I'd been keeping it. I'd been mentoring at the same time. So a lot of the downloads I'd get would be about the women I was mentoring. And so I'd kind of try and figure out ways to slip it in, like to kind of go, spirit told me this about you. But like, and so I was hedging my bets left, right, and center, and could not really acknowledge who I was. And I was not speaking my truth. And it was not a comfortable time for me. And then I was staying with this woman in Cambodia, because I'm a digital nomad. I'm a glitter nomad. I travel, so I'm always somewhere differently. So I was in Phnom Penh last March, and the woman I was staying with was just so lovely. And one day she just said to me, can you read me? can you do a reading for me? And I was like, oh, no, I don't know that I can. No, no. She was like, I think you can do it. Like, I really think you can do it. And I actually said, okay. And I sat down and I checked in with my guides and I was like, can I do this? And they're like, yeah, you can do this. And I went, I'm really nervous. Can I have a beer before I do this? And they're like, yeah, you can have a beer.
Wow. I like your guides.
So it's like 35 degrees and 98% humidity. And I'm in the middle of Phnom Penh and I'm walking outside so I can buy a beer to come back. And I did a reading and it was like magic, because I get out of the way. That's the thing. I'm the telephone operator. I completely remove myself from the situation and I just basically repeat what I'm told. It all comes through me.
Yeah.
And it's like eyewitness it as well. And at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, this is actual magic. And I actually get to witness it. And I've never stopped being in awe ever since. I've done so many readings since then, but every single one of them excites me.
Okay. So you gave me a reading a couple of weeks ago, which was really fun. Thank you for that.
So what?
But I have a few questions.
Please.
First of all, okay, so the way that our reading worked, and I don't know if this is for everyone, but basically you were communicating the messages that were coming through my energy from my angels and from my guides.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning. What is the difference between angels and spirit guides?
Okay, so for me, and this is all just my experience, there are so many ways to tap into this and it's also very individual. There's so many lineages. This is just me and my experience, right? So when I go in, it's two different vibrational levels is how I would explain it. One is a higher level, one is a lower level. That's not to say better, worse, gooder, worser, whatever. It's just like the vibrations feel different, right? So when I go in on the angelic realm, for me, I read it as very high, big picture, high vibration, where you're looking, bird's eye view of your life. So it's where you're looking at the span of your life in this lifetime, but not even just this lifetime, past life stuff comes up there as well. And it's like connecting with source. It's all just, when you get up into those realms, it's just, it's light and it's love and it's beautiful and delicious. Mm. So that's angelic. And then the lower realm is spirit guide. And it's a bit more practical, if that's a word that makes sense when we're talking about these things. It's a bit more practical, a little bit more involved in the day-to-day. Mm. So I kind of think of it as like board of directors, angelic realm board of directors, and spirit guide more kind of customer service reps. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're getting your downloads of sorts in order to communicate through to the person that you're giving the reading to, I think what always strikes me with this stuff is it's not like we're sitting there in silence for 5 minutes while you get all this information and then you interpret it and give it back to me. Yeah. It's very free-flowing conversation. So how in what way do you personally receive the messages? Do you hear it? Do you visualize it? What's the download process like for you?
For me, it's mostly hearing. As I go on more and more, I'm being given visuals now, but for me, the hearing came first. And yeah, it is quite quick because like I said, I move myself out of the way. Yeah. So it's almost, and this is not such a great visual, but here we go. It's almost like I'm the ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah.
It's almost like the angels have their hands up my butt and they're working my mouth. And so the way it comes through is I actually just let it flow. I speak it. Mm. And so sometimes even the stuff that's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, damn, wow. And then other times, other times that works really well. And then sometimes I do need to pause and go back and go, sorry, you need to say that again. Or can you be clearer on that? Or they will show me a picture and I'll understand it.
Yeah.
They'll understand it on a deeper level. Yeah.
I think what I've always found so fascinating about any kind of intuitive reading or psychic session is that they're, like you said, because you are the, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but because you are the messenger of sorts, the person, you know, passing the messages on from higher realms to person having the reading. Do you think that sometimes your personal interpretation of something can misconstrue a message coming through?
Yeah, I mean, of course. It's something that I work really hard to avoid.
Mm.
And that's been one of the biggest lessons for me, actually, is learning to just say it as it comes through and not question it. Yeah. Because I notice usually, like, sometimes I'm a bit embarrassed by what I have to tell you or I'm like, oh, that's hard news. I don't want to tell you that. Or it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, this is going to sound bananas, but I need to say this to you. And then as I've learned, like, especially when I first started, I had a lot of hesitation, and like uncertainty. And then I just noticed more and more the thing that I would say, like, oh my God, this is going to sound bananas. It was like only about the third reading I'd ever done. And it came through and I was like, look, this is going to sound bananas, but they said, buy the orange bike. And she was like, how do you know about that? I'm like, I don't know. That's just the message. And she's like, my bike died yesterday and I saw an orange bike and I've decided I can't afford it. And they're like, and I'm like, look, it just said buy it, right? So like, yeah. So the stuff that I'm like, that is random. Like, or another one was like, you've got to throw out the black shoes. And again, whenever I say something specific and random like that, where I'm like, that seems too crazy, the person will be like, how did you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I just do. There's so many responsibilities doing what I do in order to, it's deep, intimate work. And there's so much work that me as a reader does to make it safe and responsible and kind and caring and
What do you think about timelines? Do you think that when we're getting messages coming through and reading energy, that it's possible to interpret it in our like 3D physical realm linear fashion? Or do you think that it's something that's sort of like really hard to convey through the timelines that we're so used to working with in the physical realm?
I love this kind of stuff. These kind of I feel like this is a late night question, isn't it? Sitting around a bonfire, like discussing the kind of time travel and can we even do it and what does it all mean? It's such a mind bender, this one, because then we start to connect into, like, I see the things I see, I pass on the things I pass on. When I can connect into these realms, I can kind of view things from up that high sometimes. But then it does lead us into a conversation of like destiny versus free will as well, right? Like if I give you a message and I tell you to do something and you do it and it works out, was that always going to happen? Or if I tell you to, like, it's like, it really, it's so,
it's
timelines are mushy.
It's the psychic conundrum though, isn't it?
Because you
walk away from a reading feeling so motivated and uplifted, and there's got to be an element of that allows you to feel like it's possible for you and you have faith in something, and maybe that is enough to create that thing in your life.
Yeah, right. And I would also say that when I connect you with your guides and your angels, I'm not connecting you with someone else, I'm connecting you with yourself. Like this stuff is already going on with you. It's just a different vibration. It's this higher part of you where that kind of stuff, it's really pure, and there is nothing but possibilities, and there is nothing but like space being cleared for this to happen. And it is kind of about dharma and purpose and soul purpose, right? So maybe in the material plane, you've got it in the, you'd describe it as, it's in the back of my mind, I'd like to do this, but I don't know how. And then I connect you through with this part of yourself where the material falls out of the way and you don't have the pros and cons list and the doubts and the fears, I could never do that because ... It connects you through to the part of yourself where you're like, oh my God, yes, I can do this. You know, so maybe that, you know, I don't know, does that muddy the timelines, or is that just you being connected with the most pure part of yourself and moving your fears and doubts out of the way? I love this question.
Well, it's so layered,
isn't it?
And I
don't know is the answer.
Yeah, no, I didn't really expect you to know. I just wanted to open it up to you. I guess the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, this has come up a lot in different circles that I move in, is seeking external validation for what you're going through or what's ahead for you by having some sort of energetic, intuitive, psychic reading, and not going inside yourself to find the answers. And I know that you said to me that you are connecting the person having the reading with their higher self, but is there, do you think, space for people to rely too heavily on somebody else giving them the answers?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I teach in the lineage, or I practice and I teach in the lineage of my teacher. And she, you know, again, believes everybody can do this, and she teaches people to do this. So she read for 20 years and then was like, I'm just going to teach you guys to do this yourself. And that's the approach that I take as well, that I don't usually take clients less than, I won't see anyone less than 6 months apart, so that you can't depend on me too much. I don't want you calling me every week to find out what you should do. I want you to spend that time with yourself and learn to develop this connection for yourself, and learn to trust yourself and build your intuition and stand in your own power. Yeah, and absolutely, like, there is what is it? It's like there's some kind of, if you think that you know someone who can always tell you that what's going to happen next, or that everything's going to be okay, there absolutely could be a tendency to depend on that. But that then you're not building the resilience you need in yourself to do this yourself, and to connect with your guides yourself, and to deeply know and understand and love yourself without that other person getting in the way.
Absolutely. So if people wanted to start to create conversation with their angels and their spirit guides, what do you think is a really easy way, or not easy, but, you know, tangible way to start?
Yeah, so it's the art of listening, really, which we don't kind of maybe do so much anymore. I feel like often we talk to be heard, and then we listen to the other person, but already we're formulating what we're going to say to them in our mind, like in a conversation. And so this is the art of listening, because the thing is, your guides, your angels, your higher self is always talking to you and always there and can't wait to be heard. You've just got to learn the language. So it's a little bit listening. It's a little bit learning another language. And if you've ever learned another language, you need to, like, be patient, be content with speaking like a child for a while. Just practice, right? Like, practice. So I would say silence or whatever, you know, it could be silence sitting. It could be silence, you know, doing a meditation. It could be silence surfing or walking or in nature, or sitting in nature. Like, it's a matter of regular practice of carving out, and it can only be 10 minutes a day. Like, it just, you know, you meet yourself where you're at, right? Like, it's whatever you can work with. You don't have to go somewhere else and be somewhere special. You incorporate it into your everyday life, and you just set aside 10 minutes a day where you say hi and say, I'm listening, and maybe ask a question or two and wait to hear what the answer is. And accept that you might not hear anything for the first month. That's fine. Again, it's a new skill. You're building the muscle, right? You wouldn't go to the gym and expect to just all of a sudden be able to lift, you know, 1,000 kilos. You've got to build up to that. Yeah. So make time and space and prioritize it and listen. And then also the other thing on top of that, I would say, is sometimes you'll get answers back clearly in the mind or in the body. Sometimes you'll get symbols. So sometimes you'll ask the question, and then later that day, something will happen. You'll be like, isn't that funny? Oh, that kind of connects to that. There you go. You got your answer.
Yeah. That's the way that I like to do it. I have a lot of people say to me, you know, especially when I'm talking about intuition, you know, how do I know that it's not ego? You know, how do I know that it's not the mind just telling me what I want to hear? Which, I mean, there's validity to that, absolutely. But that's why I try and take the answering of questions, or the solidifying or validation of something that I need an answer to, as signs and symbols throughout my day. And I find that I can accept it a lot easier.
Yeah. And learning to read your life symbolically is amazing.
Yes.
And I do this little thing when acknowledging it. So if you want to do it the symbolic way, I always find acknowledging it is the key. And so whenever something like that happens to me, I always look up, like, even if I'm walking down the street or if I'm in public, I look up and I point at the sky and I go, I saw that.
Yeah.
I did not miss that. I absolutely saw that.
Yeah,
and then that's the positive feedback as well, right? Like, to go, so show me again, like, I'm paying attention here.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you. Gratitude for
gratitude.
It.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So where do you feel like you're going with the work that you do?
I'm really passionate about connecting people to themselves and people taking the internal journey And especially in this really busy world that we live in, where, again, it's not prioritized. Buying stuff and having stuff and, like, the material world is really prioritized. And more how we look and how many followers we've got. And that's, you know, kind of the stuff that our society says is important and that you can be validated through. And I'm very much interested in supporting people as they unplug from the external and plug into the internal. I'm really passionate about women in spiritual spaces as well. I was raised a Catholic. There was no women in any of those spiritual spaces. It was all like, you have to go through a man to get to God. And I've come to understand in my life that no, I can go straight there, and every woman can go straight there. And so I'm really passionate about supporting women to cut out the middleman and take that connection for themselves. And, you know, I also, when I think ahead to the future, because I think everything we have to think about and talk about now, it's all the climate crisis, and it all connects to how can we do our bit to either change what's happening or to support each other? Because maybe it's already happening and it's too late, right? So how can we support each other in the coming generations through it? And I really think connecting to the earth and connecting to each other, losing that connection is how we got into this mess. Mm. And only through it reestablishing that connection can we possibly bear what's about to happen or reverse what's about to happen. So especially, connecting to nature, connecting to each other, connecting to spirit. I think that's the way out of it, both on an individual level and on a collective community level as well.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this conversation today?
I'd like to make space for the magical and the fantastical.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm really... Again, we live in a world that's a bit material sometimes, depending on the circles you move in, but it's a bit material. It's a bit like, if I can see it, it's real. If science has proved it, it's real. Mm. If I can buy it, it's real. And I would like to invite anyone who's listening to make room in your life for the magical, the fantastical, the spiritual, the unexplainable, the kind of stuff that just makes you go, wow.
Yeah.
And takes you back to a childlike wonder. You know, a lot of my friends are having kids at the moment, and you see a kid go out into the world and everything is wow. Mm. And then we grow up and we're like, whatever. No, that's not that good.
Totally.
Show it to me again, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that as adults, we could really be served by coming back to some of our childlike wonder and just acknowledging that we're miracles. We are, every single one of us. I know there's 7.5 billion of us, but we are miracles, and we're walking around in these flesh suits. We only get them for a little while, and then we have to give them back. And it's remarkable the capacity we have to heal ourselves and care for each other and connect to the divine. It's a big universe out there. And I think any of us can explore is time really well spent.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about being open to the experience, isn't it? Because like you said, yeah, we walk around with blinders and blinkers on. Like, we don't even think that there's possibility or potential out there for us. So sort of removing those parameters and those boundaries and really allowing magic in.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a safety mechanism as well. We do put those barriers up, right, because we think, oh, I don't deserve it, or I can't have it, or I'm not chosen, or I'm not good enough. And I think if you can let those barriers down and connect to openness and curiosity and wonder and hope, there's miracles out there. You just need to see them, you know?
Mm, beautiful. Mm. So if people want to connect with you and perhaps organize a reading with you, which I highly recommend, where should they go? What should they do?
Yeah. Okay. So probably the easiest place is my website, which maybe you can put in the show notes.
Yes.
Because it's kiralleelynch.com, and none of that spelling is particularly easy.
It's not, actually. Every time I go to write you an email, I'm like, nope, this doesn't work.
On the upside, if you Google me under my name, I'm the only one that comes up.
Oh, well, that's good.
So you can find out more about me and what I do at my website or at my Instagram, Luminous Awakenings. Mm. And I'd like to invite everyone to join my blessing circle. So this is a new thing that I've started. I do it every Sunday night. It is easily my favorite part of the week. And it's a half an hour on a Sunday evening. We do it online. People call in, but it's done with microphones and cameras off. So it's very much about receiving. Mm. And I channel the group and I pass on blessings from angels and guides.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. I described it as like a warm bath with good friends.
Oh my God. What time on a Sunday do you do that?
It's Yeah, so I do it at 8 p.m. on a Sunday evening.
Perfect.
And I do it every week. Yeah, yeah. And it's free. It's my offering to the world. So, yeah. So if you come to my website, you can find out more about that. And I invite you to join because it's just delicious. And then I have a bunch of stuff coming up. I'm putting together, I'll be launching in September a course, a 4-week course called Across the Universe, which is 31 Days of Deep Connection. And it's all about taking that internal journey. I do a group course as well. Starting in September, which will be a 3-month small group course. I'm going to be launching a podcast in September, which I'm really excited about. And I do readings, and also I'll be traveling through Europe teaching yoga at the end of the year.
Oh, so wow. You really are a glitter nomad, as you put it.
Yeah, I do tend to flit about a bit. All of that is up at my website, and I invite you to come check it out and get in touch.
Oh, yes. That's amazing. Well, I'll definitely be joining a Sunday blessing circle.
Please, Jordana. That would be lovely. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and having a chat with me.
Thank you.
I wish you a beautiful winter's day in Melbourne.
Yes, and you enjoy paradise.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.